Yeah. We only have an hour for this webinar, so I see people joining on. I am going to get through it because I think we have quite a bit of content to get done in 1 hour. Here we go. So hi everyone, and thanks for joining us at Leading Edge Dog Show Academy for another grooming webinar. This is our second one, and we are just like so happy that we're able to provide this platform for people that are stuck at home and want some grooming tips. And we did the first one free to everyone by Leading Edge Dog Show Academy, and we are so incredibly grateful to have this one sponsored by Groomers Pro, INV, and Angels Grooming Apparel. They sent me some. Angels Grooming Apparel is really lovely, but they got held up in customs, the stuff that I wanted that was in my size. So hopefully by the next seminar or webinar, we have some to show you. But we are really, really grateful that they decided to sponsor this. So they have also provided all of the webinar attendees with a code SEMINAR15. So if you use the code SEMINAR15 until Sunday, April 19th, you can get a 15% discount on anything you order from any of their sites. So that's pretty incredible too. So these webinars take a little bit to organize. We're getting better at it. We're going to try to make this as smooth as possible for you. We have some slides that we have prepared with some techniques and practices that I think are useful to us during this downtime and worth things that are worth trying on your show dogs right now, right? Because now is the time to try it. You can even go to a dog show if you tried. So you might as well figure out, you know, I always say you learn the most by fixing your own mistakes. And so if you make a mistake, no big deal. You have lots of time to fix it. And plus, I'll be here to help you fix it, right? And the other thing is that a lot of it's not a mistake. Maybe it's something you're just curious about, but you've never been brave enough to try it. Well, try it now, because if you hate it, you can go back to your old method. But what if it's the best thing since sliced bread, right? So the first thing we're going to do is go through the slides. Then we'll do a Q&A, and this is split into two portions. First of all, we will go over the questions that you guys have sent in. Some of them we have prepared slides for. And then there is a Q&A function that I hope is working, because I'm the one that's in charge of making sure it works, where you can just, it says Q&A, and you can just type me in a question, and I'll get to as many of those as I possibly can within the 1 hour time limit we have. And then any remaining questions, my lovely and talented assistant Katie will try to write them all down, and we will answer them either in an upcoming webinar or upcoming YouTube episode, so that we'll answer them there for you. The best way, because we're going to keep doing these webinars, the best way to get the questions to us is by email. I had a few people send them in on Messenger, and they just come at us from too many different directions that we can't get them into the slides. Another thing to remember is we do mail this webinar out. So if you missed anything, you want us to go over anything, so it will be emailed to you, and you can go over it again at your leisure, so you can pause it at different parts and listen to what I had to say, or, you know, fast forward because you didn't really like what I said. You know, up to you. I drink lots of water during these because I talk a lot. All right, so let's get to it. Wow, we got a lot of people joining up. Also, tell your friends, we're trying to do one in a European-friendly time zone as well. And if we had enough interest from Australia and New Zealand, I wouldn't mind doing one at a friendly time zone for them as well. So yeah, lots of stuff coming up. Here we go. I'm going to get to the slides, and I am going to share my screen, and hit the share button would be probably good. I don't know why that's there. Hopefully I didn't just stop the seminar by doing that. Okay. Katie, why can't I hear you? Oh, I need to unmute.
Because I muted myself.
Okay, there you are. So you can see.
Yeah, you're all good. I can see them.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So, like I said, Leading Edge Dog Show Academy, we're happy to do these webinars for you, presented by Groomers Pro, and thank you so much for Groomers Pro being on board. Here's our lovely and talented sponsors. There's their website. Okay, so we talked about this in the last webinar, but I cannot talk to you about this enough. Using a vision board. So a vision board is a tool that I use to track the progress of my dog's trim and condition and to make a goal of what I want them to look like. And this is really important because a lot of people, when they come to my live seminars, I'll say, so what look are you going for, right? Because there's different styles to grooming in almost every breed. So you need to have a clear vision, and no better way to do this than a vision board. You can print photos off of your ideal trim, your ideal haircut, what you are going for. And then you can print off a photo of your dog and you can correct your dog with like a felt tip marker. You know, red is where you need to cut more hair off. Maybe you're filling in the color so you can see exactly what your dog want it to look like. And if you don't have access to a printer, you can try doing it online with PowerPoint, Google Slides, Canva. You know, you can use a collage app on your phone. And we also have a course on how to do a vision board in our school at leadingedgedogshowacademy.com. It's only $9, or it's, you know, included in Winter Circle. And also, if you want help with your vision board or your photos or critiques, you can send them to me and I will critique them, mark them up for you, show you how I would do it, and we can go from there. So here is quickly an example of how I did it. So if we start right here in the upper left-hand corner, and then that's her when she arrived. Then that's the next slide is the same day, just after her bath and her trim. And I'm just noting like where I want, you know, her rosette to be rounder. This is how much hair she needs to grow for a top knot. The back of her tail needs help. And then here she is in September and October. And I, you know, in October, I kind of thought, okay, I need fuller hair. And then there she is in December. So this is just like an example of doing it with your own dog. But now I would use this photo in December to like trim my next dog of what I wanted it to look like. So that's a really quick overview. But vision boards, use it, right? Even if you don't want to be this technical or really get into it, print off a photo of what you want your dog to look like, right? And pick one maybe from your dog's family or a dog that's a similar make and shape to yours so that there is, you know, a way for you to get to that example. So this slide is a great slide because it pertains to one of the questions that we have later coming up. So this is the importance of the bath and styled dry. So it is really important for show trims that you take the bath seriously. So I say this all the time. It all starts with the bath. Nothing you do is going to turn out if you have skimped your time getting your dog really clean and getting their hair dried properly. So one of the things that you need to do is you need to follow the steps and dilutions for the products. So first of all, if you're using the products that are supposed to be diluted straight, it's going to take you longer to get them out of the coat. In the case of some whitening or darkening products, you might turn your dog a color you don't want your dog to be that color. And if you dilute the product too much, the product's not going to do what it's intended to do because it's too thinned out to use it, right? The other thing, for most conditioners, especially Chris Christensen conditioners, I like to use an immersion blender. So like the cheapest immersion blender from Walmart. And I do the dilution in about half the amount of water that I need and really get it emulsified in that water and then add the rest of my water. Why? Chris Christensen products are really concentrated, which is great for you. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck, but you can also, they don't mix great with water without a little bit of effort. So if you're mixing it with water better, you're going to get more out of that product. It's going to be emulsified in the water, therefore on your dog's coat properly. And instead of getting like water than a glob of conditioner, water than a glob, it's just going to be nice all over your entire dog. If you don't want to use a cheap old immersion blender, use one of those protein shaker cups, like with the little whisk ball in it. That does a great job as well. I usually keep one of those in my tack box, so if I'm at a show, then I can do it there. So the way you dry your dog is also crucial. Now is the time to perfect how you dry them and create the best system with what you have around you right now. You can use your own like hair dryer on your dog, especially if you have a good force dryer. When drying your dog, think about the final product and what you want the dog to look like, where you want the hair fuller, where you want it flatter. And this vision of how I want them to look starts for me with the dry. So I go on about this in the question later, but I'm just going to answer it now because these slides are up here and really useful. But I am going to bath my dog. I'm going to condition it. I am going to squeeze out as much water as I possibly can with my hands. Then I'm going to dry their face with a towel and vigorously dry, especially a double-coated breed, with towels. And then once they are dried with towels, as much as I can get them dry, I am going to throw them either outside into a clean yard, into a laundry room if the weather's not great, and get them to shake. It is scientifically proven that shaking does help get rid of water, and it's going to cut down on your drying time. So I let them shake for about 5 minutes. I like to put two clean, dry towels on my table to soak up excess water. All of this just helps with time. You don't want the feet being wet and your dog, you know, some people don't worry about how dry their feet are, but you should. Then their dog curls up and, you know, their wet feet makes everything else, curly again. So you've wasted all that time. So then I'm going to use my force dryer. And I don't really force dry the head, but I'm going to force dry my dog about 50% dry, kind of not thinking, right? So I'm going to kind of go this way, that way, just getting it, you know, I'll let them sit, I'll let them do whatever, just get them about 50. So, but once they're 50% dry, now I'm going to pay attention. Now my dog has to be standing. And if you look at the arrows on the Sheltie, that's how I'm going to start force drying the hair. So if this was an Aussie, you know, a lot of it would be the same except for maybe the top of the ruff going all the way up. But I'm going to dry the top line flat and I'm thinking I'm going from, you know, head to tail and top down. But if you follow the arrows on this Sheltie, like even for your Aussie, I'm going to put the fronts of the legs up. I'm going to put the backs of the back legs down. Even for setters, for spaniels, I'm going to be, you know, I'm not really going to be using the force dryer a lot on the furnishings, but I'm still going to be getting that leg hair up at the fronts of the legs, the leg hair down on the backs of the legs, the leg hair out and up on hocks, the butt hair down, the top line flat, the side hair down. So you get the drift. You're following these arrows, right? It's really, really important. And then once we have that done, so once we have them like, you know, 90% dry, then I'm going to go through them with a hot dryer because it's heat that really, really sets how we are how we are getting the final result, right? So heat really, really sets it. So one of the things that I will do once I use a hot dryer is I like to use a brush like this. So this is the Breezy Brush by Chris Christensen, but it's basically this shape of brush. So this is the oblong that I find really, really useful for those breeds to really, because it helps, it acts like a round brush. You can really like curl. And even if we look at the lovely and talented Ellie Mae, stay here. You could go in here and like as you're using the dryer, you could be like twisting the coat like this so that you can really use this to style. Say they had like a wrinkle in their top knot. That is one of the things that I would do. And I'm just going to go back to sharing to the slides. So that is how I would start it. So once I have the hair perfect, right? So if the hair isn't perfect, go back into the hair with either water or some water with some bottoms up, some mousse, and really concentrate on getting those dogs with a hot dryer as perfect as possible. If it's not perfect now, it's not going to end up being perfect at the dog show. So re-wet it and dry it until it's perfect. Another tip, once your dog is dry, dry them for another 10 minutes. Right? If it's been dry and then you find that your dry never lasts, that your dog is always curly or there's always dry it for, what happens is your dog isn't really dry. There's a little bit of moisture somewhere that is creeping into those areas and getting those areas damp again. And then the hair just does whatever it wants. So once you are done drying, dry for another 10 minutes. Another thing, if you can avoid having your dog sleep in a wire crate, if they do sleep in a crate, get a Very Kennel. Sleeping up against a wire crate changes how you've dried them. Make sure that their blanket is, like, I prefer to use a mat, right? So, like, even a bath mat is better than a towel that they can crunch up into a ball. You know, for some breeds, I don't even like them to sleep on a bed the night before, like Legatos, Irish Water Spaniels, dogs that need that super curly, curly coat. It just makes them fuzzy. So even what they sleep on can change what you have done with that dryer. And I think that that is really important to remember. Again, if your dog has a problem area that needs correcting, like the way they hold their tail, a tail set, an ear placement, like on your Sheltie or your Aussie, your Setter, you want to correct their length of leg. Now is the time to critically examine your dog and use your artistic abilities to correct it. So when I talk about critically examining your own dog, I critically examine every single dog that I show. I don't tell anybody else, right? I tell my assistant or I tell like the owners that I'm showing the dog for, but you don't have to tell everybody else, but you have to be like critical of your own dog and use your artistic ability to correct that fault, right? That's what you're doing. You're using your artistic ability to correct that fault, whether you're going to grow a little bit more hair at the bottom of the ear to bring that ear set down, whether you are going to take the furnishings on your Springer, on your Irish Setter, on your Aussie, on your Sheltie up a little higher to give them a little bit more leg. Now is the time to do it and decide if you like it or not. And also, say on a poodle, you're moving top knot lines down, you're moving bracelets up, you're moving a tail down. Even like on a Springer or a Setter, you've shaved the ears too high or too low and you want to try it. Now is the time to do it because it has time to go through that ugly stage with no dog shows, right? So now is the time to do those kinds of things. Now, this is another reason to use the vision board. Take a picture of what it looks like now, start moving those lines around, take another picture, and then, you know, in a month you're going to have another picture to deal with that you can look at. Yes, it does look better. I need to keep growing it. No, it doesn't look better. Now is the time to do those things. If you have a puppy that would change into another trim, so I had a message from Germany, and they show their dogs usually till about 18 months in puppy pants and then put in Continental. And she goes, I've never put one in Continental this young, but I really feel I should, because even if dog shows, you know, start up again in the summertime, she's only going to have like another month in this trim before I would change her to Continental. So yes, absolutely, poodles need to be in Continental now unless they're less than 9 months old. That's how I feel. Same goes for other breeds. Like if you've ever wanted to like strip, you have a stripping breed that usually they don't really grow harder hair until they're older. They're not going to have a puppy career at this point. So now it's time to strip them out, right? I can't stress this enough. Doesn't matter what breed it is, Springer Spaniel, American Cocker, poodles, anything, trim the ends of that hair. Take off half an inch more than you would, and you will thank me later. You're going to hate me when you do it, but take off half an inch more of all the furnishings, your affenpincers, head, you don't want to strip their heads too short, but you could take some thinning shears, take off more dead ends than you normally would. It's just going to come in that much thicker. It's going to look amazing, I promise. More of what I just said, I would trim everything half an inch too tight right now, because it's just going to come in thicker and more lush, and you're going to really, really like it. For people that do have strip breeds for those puppies, I would make a chart of when you strip them, take photos, use that as your own vision board of how long it took you to grow that back in. Same if you have an Aussie or a Sheltie and it has some dead hair. Now it's time to like really strip out those areas, to just see what it looks like when you have them naked, because now they have time to grow that back. I'm skipping over slide 11. Clipper lines. So when you are clipping your dog, you don't want to like show clip them every single week. And I mean, this can even go for like setters and stuff as well, because then your lines are going to start moving up. That's when your ears start moving down, right? Because you're always trying to get it perfect. So I always like to clip everything like one finger width away from where I actually want it for my maintenance clipping. And this just gives me some leeway of time when I want, when I don't want things to get smaller and smaller. So a lot of times on our poodles, our rosettes get smaller and smaller and smaller because we are clipping them all the time, right? So when we're using wraps and bands on our poodle, the size of bands and the size of sections you are banding are very important. And this could be part of the reason your dogs are experiencing breakage and matting. I find for the most part, so many people take too big of a section. You could always use a little piece of paper towel or cotton underneath the band on really fine haired dogs that are having a lot of breakage. If you need to use an additional product like Bitter Apple or McNasty by Equus to stop the chewing, make sure to use a piece of paper towel or cloth on the outside of the wrapper so it can soak in. So this is the same. You could use Bitter Apple and McNasty on other breeds if you have other dogs that are chewing on their hair. That'll work as well. This is another one that I really want people to try right now because this is something that a lot of people don't believe me when I tell them that this is what I do. So when I am dealing with coat change on an Aussie, a Sheltie, any kind of double coated breed, Siberian Husky, Alaskan Malamute, Bernese Mountain Dog, you know, even a wire haired pointing Griffon, I'm going to bath and dry them every 3 to 5 days. I am going to get that dead hair out as quickly as possible because the sooner the dead hair comes out, the sooner the new hair can grow back in. And I might even put them on a table and I might blow them out with cool water. So say my Siberian Husky is blowing their coat, my Shetland Sheepdog, my Aussie is blowing their coat. So every 3 to 5 days, I'm going to completely bath them and dry them and get out as much dead hair as possible. But the in-between days, like say they're still really blowing a lot of coat, I might throw them up on the grooming tables, mist them down with a bottle of just like plain water, and this with my force dryer on cool, just force dry them and get out those dead areas, especially like if it's bulking up, like sometimes they shed out unevenly, if it's bulking up around the neck, really, really work on that neck hair. And it's going to be that much quicker for the new hair to grow back in. So for all those people that don't believe me that this really works, now is the time to do it because you might as well see if it really did work on your Akita, right? And the hair did grow back in that much faster. Maybe make notes, maybe put this as part of your vision board. Okay, last time when she blew hair, it took her 2 months to come back into hair. This time with Allison's method, it took 3 weeks. And that's literally, sometimes they don't even look like they've completely blown hair because you're just always bringing that new growth back in. Also, if you're dealing with like a Portuguese water dog, a poodle, an American cocker, really clip out all that belly hair. You don't need to be looking after that. The inside leg hair and, you know, any hair that's extra that has a place to mat. For poodles, Portuguese water dogs, your K's hounds, things like that, you can always, in between baths, have your dryer on cool and with a pin brush, use that dryer. The dryer helps to separate the hair so you can see where the mats are, and it really, really does help dealing with coat change and matting. Okay, so now, unless you live in Australia, it is getting sunnier everywhere, right? And your dogs are spending more time outside because you're spending more time at home, and you should consider how the sun may damage their coat. Whenever possible, especially, I think we spelt that wrong, Katie, for blacks and brown dogs, try to have a shaded area for them to lounge. I know it's hard because they all just like to, sit in the sun just like us, right? So just have a place that they can lounge that is in the shade. Consider using products with an SPF like Ice on Ice Detangling Spray or a coloring shampoo like Black on Black. But for a lot of those red or brown dogs, really, really the only option is to keep them out of the sun as much as possible. The products that I recommend for general maintenance, day-to-day shampoo and conditioner. I love putting extra conditioning into my dogs, right? So the one slide that I skipped over that I will do in a future webinar again, I did it in the last webinar, was using the plastic bag method, which is my favorite conditioning method. It just takes like 15 minutes to demo it, and that was going to take up too much time in our webinar, but you know, we're going to do more of these. I'll do it again. It's my favorite way to deep condition dogs, which I prefer over oil. I love Peace and Kindness spray and gel and Peace and Kindness shampoo made with colloidal silver. Colloidal silver is great for all of those little doggy ailments, especially stained eyes. Mystic Ear and Just a Vine brushing spray, just a great general brushing spray. So you guys can take a look at those. Well, I drink some water. Remember that your groomers, you can get 15% off on all of these. And like, I'm not making a commission telling you that you can get money off, but I'm just saying that if companies have offered us to get money off, then we should probably use it. That's how I think. Okay, Q&A. So the first part of this Q&A, hey, this is pretty good because we wanted to start it about halfway through, which we have. So the first part of this Q&A is questions that were emailed to us, and we have done our best. Oh, I think I just turned my printer on again. We have done our best to answer them here. It is hard to keep track of questions that came in. I did have another really good Saluki question on trimming feet, but we just couldn't get it on here because it came on, I have to turn off my printer, because it came on Messenger, and we just can't, there's too many things come from too many places. So please, for the future webinars, tell your friends, please either, you can put them on here live, which I can see people are doing right now, and or we can answer them by email if you want to see them on a slide. Remember that you are going to get a copy of these slides because the whole webinar, including these slides, gets emailed to you today or tomorrow. All right, here we go. Okay, this is one. Obviously, I had more than one person send in this question. Eye staining is a huge deal, right? So how to stop, so this is a two-part question really, because we need to stop the staining, right? Like that's the, I actually did a private consultation yesterday about this one topic. So how to stop staining. Look into using a product like Eye Envy. You can try it right now and get 15% off. It's one of our sponsors. Colloidal silver and baby wipes. Okay, so Eye Envy is great. It definitely works. I've used it on my white dogs. I also like colloidal silver in a spray. If you are going to use colloidal silver, please talk to your veterinarian first. How I like to use it I'm just gonna stop sharing my screen. And I'm going to go to Ellie Mae. Here's Ellie Mae. So what I like to do is, here's my poodle or whatever breed I have with the eye staining. Obviously, she's black and has no eye staining. But after talking to your veterinarian, you could use Peace and Kindness spray from Chris Christensen. It's 30 parts per million of colloidal silver. You can buy colloidal silver at the health food store and put it in your own little spray bottle. But literally, for my stained dog, I'm going to have the spray bottle here at the end of their nose. I'm going to go 1, 2, 1, 2, like not right up, just the spray bottle is right here. 1, 2 into the eye, 1, 2 into the eye twice a day. And you will be amazed at how quickly that, combined with using something like Eye Envy, will really, really work for you. And so one time at PCA, I was given a poodle that had white poodle was staining like almost to the end of his nose. It was the worst staining I'd ever seen. Obviously, I was planning on taking him to the veterinarian when I got back home, but on my way back home, I was stopping and doing other shows. So it was about 10 days till I was going to get home. So I used the colloidal silver and it was 75% cleared up by the time I got home. The rest of it did end up clearing up. And I used IMV on him as well. I like to use baby wipes because baby wipes are gentle and I just like to use them to wipe underneath the eye, like anywhere that it is stained, twice a day because I feel you're preventing it. So that is part one. Part two is lessening the stain that is there now. So you will need milk of magnesia, which you buy at the drugstore, and 3% hydrogen peroxide, which is, again, the first aid kind, the one you buy at the drugstore, not the 20% that you buy for your hair, but the one that you buy for the dog show. You're going to mix those in equal parts, not a lot, like maybe a quarter cup of each, and you're going to mix that with enough cornstarch to form a paste, so to form like a paste a little bit thinner than toothpaste. And then you're going to put that on that stained area morning and night. It's going to harden. Some of it's going to fall off. You're just going to leave it in between baths. And every night and every morning, you're just going to add more on top, onto the stained area where it's fallen off, and just on top of the stuff that's already there. And the milk of magnesia is going to naturally, over time, pull that staining out. So that's a way to not bleach the face and to get the staining out of there naturally. Obviously, you're going to create this mixture, and you're going to keep it like in a little Tupperware or a, you know, a tightly sealed jar. And it's going to last about a week. So every week you're going to wash the face with Happy Eyes, because it's a truly tearless shampoo. You need to be really careful around the face. You're going to wash off all of that hardened stuff. You're going to make yourself a new batch and carry on. And it will pull that staining out of the eye naturally. So cleaning up our Seleukis for shows, especially getting rid of the fuzz. So there's what the last line of this slide is worded a little strongly, but we'll get to that. So cleaning up the fuzz, you want to use a grooming stone. The coarser the stone, the better. Once the stone starts to wear, you need to scrape it on a surface to get a rough edge again. You could also use the Chris Christensen Pro Knife or the classic stripping knife in coarse. And you are going to hold the skin quite taut so that you're not tearing the skin. And you're just going to go in the direction that the hair grows, pulling out that fuzz. Each grooming session, I like to think that I am taking 1/3 of the hair out. So if I do it 3 times a week, about 1/3 of the way along is what I want to do. Because then I'm not stressing the skin too much. I like to do the sides of the neck, working down towards the shoulders. So if you can see on the diagram on the right, the little circled area, I do like to take my clippers and on the longest setting, so like on a 7F or a 5, or like the wall 5-in-1 clippers that everybody seems to have now, on the longest setting, I am going to go with the grain of the hair, just that little throat latch area to really clean that fuzz out. Because first of all, that's an uncomfortable place. And I'm going to go with it. I'm never going to do it the day before the show. I'm going to do it the week before the show. So now's the time to do it, right? Now's the time to practice, because if you hate it, it has lots of time to grow back in. So with the throat, just in that little throat latch area, and then from the sides of that, strip out all that extra fuzz. The other places that I like to use the 5-in-1 blade on the longest setting is right in here. And I go again with the grain, because this is a fuzzy area that is hard to manage, and they don't like you stripping out a lot of the hair here. And another place, this dog doesn't have a lot of fuzz there, but right in here, I'll use that blade again, always going with the grain of the hair and always, just with the longest setting. And again, you can see this isn't the greatest job here, but your dog needs to be standing naturally. And then you're just going to use the tip of the clipper to just clean this area out. Never here. This area looks clippered. It should not be clippered. This is taken out with your fingers or the stripping stone. This could be clippered with the tip. This can be clippered here. But again, we've gone a little bit too high up in this area. This needs to be stripped out with a stripping stone in here on the neck, stripping stone, but right, if the ear was up, right here is the area that we would clipper. I would take thinning shears going with the grain to this area and get this tidied. So hopefully that helped. I like that function. I didn't know we could do that with the slides. That was great. Okay, this was another question that was emailed to us. And the question was, how do I get the angulation on the rear legs, and what should the proportions of the front to rear legs be? So they didn't tell me what breed they had. From the question, I guessed that it was a poodle puppy and puppy trim. So if I'm wrong, email me back and tell me what breed it is. So another tip when you're emailing us questions, I'm not as smart as I look. So please, when possible, say what breed you have. So I build the angulation in by taking the coat as close to the body as possible from the pin bone to where the leg bends across from the stifle. So if you pick up the back leg, where it naturally bends is I'm going to take the hair from the pin bone to that point at the back of the leg as close as possible to the skin. Sometimes you can even see skin, so practice that now. Then from that point to the hawk and beyond, I let that grow in and I let that be where I am creating angulation. I might let a lot of hair grow there if I think the dog needs more angulation. I might take a lot off if I think, you know, they have too much. You can kind of use that to balance. I, as a general rule, never take hair off the backs of the front legs or the fronts of the back legs. I just barely tidy that up. You want that negative square space to be as short as possible. The more length you create between the front legs and the back legs, the longer backed your dog looks, no matter what breed it is. For the front legs, I generally don't let the hair grow longer than past the arch in the toes. So if you use, like, if you draw a straight line from the arch and the toes up, the front leg hair never is longer than that when it's combed right out and trimmed it. So if you have left that length and you have left the length on the back of the front leg, that starts to give you a balance point between how the front legs and the back legs should look. And we do have this actually explained in depth and demonstrated on video in our poodle puppy trim course at Leading Edge. So you are welcome to do that. Also welcome to send me photos of your own poodle and I could mark them up as the start for your vision board. So there you go. I like my poodle in a salon or pet trim to be poofy, but I was told to make him tighter. It just is easier. With high set ears, I'm still working on the top knot and I like the bubble look. So yes, with a high ear set, it can be tricky to get the top knot right, especially if you like that bubble look. There might not be much reason to do this. I've already talked to this person and I think they've already signed up to get the modern trim from the school because it is demonstrated there. But I was going to take this time just to demonstrate how you might do a bubble on a pet top knot, and also what you might want to do if you do have a dog with a higher ear set. And I'm just getting ready to show you on the lovely Ellie Mae. And so I'm going to stop sharing. And Ellie Mae has decided to now stand up. Ellie Mae, come here. Good girl. Good girl. Sit down. Good girl. Lay down. Okay. So can we see Ellie Mae there? Okay, so there she is. And I'm going to pull her a little bit closer to us. So here she is. You can see she has a poodle pet salon trim type haircut. Nice and fluffy here. And here's her ear set, right? So you can see, typically, I would have this cut up really nice and tight around the ear. So I'd actually use my curved shears backwards and go over the ear to get this nice and tight. Now, she doesn't have a high ear set, but you can see how I could let that grow in so that it does. So you still get that kind of same salon poofy look, but it's not showing off. Like, I haven't cut it really, really tight to the side. One of the tricks for getting the top knot even is to brush everything to one side from like left to right and then trim up this way and then do the same on the other side. So that is one way, is just to let it grow bigger from side to side and not have it as close to the skull. But if you did want to put a bubble in your pet top knot, you could quite simply do it. Like, hers is all not quite long enough, but again, you're just going to pinch the hair so you look like it's going to form a bubble. And then I like to use a parting comb and I'm just going to part it from side to side, and then I'm going to put all of this hair in a rubber band, and I like to just go around three times, and this is in my top knot course at Leading Edge, and then I'm going to just pull it and give her just a little bubble. Now, obviously, she has all these ends because she's in a pet trim, but you can see, maybe, how you could just have a little, I've used a pink band, you could just have a little bubble in there. It's going to keep it out of her eyes. And this is probably what she'll look like when she goes camping with my sister, because my sister likes to cut her bangs with a jackknife. But yeah, so that's how you could just put the little bubble in your pet top knot. So I hoped that helped that person that was asking that question. And we're just going to go back to the slides quickly. And This was actually one of the first questions that we had come in. What is the best way to deal with mats in the armpits of a K's hound? So the armpits are a high friction area, so it does mat a lot. Try thinning the amount of hair there. So I would pull the leg straight up, and I might show you that again on, these are the safety thinner. I'm so happy. And I'm going to show you that. And also when you have the armpit pulled out, try Ice on Ice Ultra or ProGrow to coat the hair, make the hair a little more slick, so then it's not going to mat as much. And also, what are the best type of grooming scissors for a K's hound? So for a K's hound, I would recommend using thinning shears only, like never straight shears. And I like the Artisan Safety Thinner, especially if you're just starting out, because with the safety thinner, the one edge is dull, so you take out less hair. They're not as aggressive, right? So it's a good place to start, especially for breeds that aren't supposed to have a lot of trimming done. So I'm going to stop sharing, and I'm going to go back to Ellie Mae. And hopefully you can see her here. So if Ellie Mae was a K's hound, come on, Mae. We may have lost, okay. So I'm pulling this leg straight out, right? So here's her leg down. This is the armpit area. So I would only trim this area with the leg pulled straight out like this. And then I would use my thinning shears. So this is what my thinning shears look like, right? So I'm using, and then I would just go in here and just like go 1, 2, 3, and then brush this area out. And then I'm going to take my spray, like my Ice on Ice Ultra or my ProGrow mixed up in a spray bottle. I'm going to spray this armpit area and brush it again, because then hopefully I am going to get less friction happening in there. And that is really going to help with the matting. Now, I also think, as we go back to the slides, that one of the earlier questions that this person had asked was, their dog really didn't like being brushed, right? So how to get them used to being brushed. So one of the ways to get them used to being brushed is try the Chris Christensen, the wooden pin brush, because they are really, really gentle. They're awesome for puppies, but for dogs that don't like to be brushed, I really, really like them, because it's just super, super gentle and they tend to like them a bit more. And I just want to see if... Nope. Okay, sorry about that. So I'm going to go back to this K's hound question, because the other question that they had, which I think we have for other people, and I'm just remembering an email that maybe I forgot to send to Katie, was my K's hound always wants to like turn around and look at me while I'm grooming it. And so get your dog really tired, right? So before you groom them, work them out. And then while you're grooming, you know, like reward them for looking the right way, right? So I had a Carrie Blue Terrier that, you know, he always wanted to look at me. So I would like have a treat and be treating them with one hand while I'm brushing with the other, or like keep throwing a toy so that they're looking in the right direction. But just every time they look in the right direction, just encourage them. And I would just always like, sometimes they're looking at you because they know you're going to turn their head in the right direction, because they feel that is a form of praise. So praise them with their head in the correct direction. Position. So don't be afraid. Like I would always have a pocket full of treats for some of my dogs when I was grooming them. And the other thing about dogs that don't really like being brushed is, even if it starts out with you're only brushing them for 3 minutes before they get frustrated, try to stop before they get frustrated and really, really reward them, so that it just becomes, oh, that's when so many fun things happen, is when I'm being brushed. All right, I need another drink. And I'm really going to try to get to some of the questions that are coming in. Okay, so here was a question that I think we mostly answered earlier on, how do you properly blow dry an Australian Shepherd after the bath? And I showed you the brush that was the oblong brush. I like the breezy brush in oblong, but any oblong brush would really do. And basically, for what I said earlier when we were looking at the slide on the stylized blow dry, this is basically those steps written out. So you could always refer back to this slide. How to make a pretty top knot without using hairspray. So we do have a lot of people that live in areas you can't use hairspray, but most people use some kind of spray in those countries, right? So thick and thicker, the aerosol spray is something that has been allowed to be used in those countries. Mixing sugar water, also you could do that. It takes a long time to dry, but mix sugar water in a spray bottle and use that to do up the top knot at the front. Of course, other than that very front piece, try backcombing and grooming crystals. Now, for the front piece, if you went to my top knot course and you saw how I did the fan, you could do that with sugar water and a blow dryer, and I will do a tutorial on that to show you how to do it. But now is the time to try it, right? So you want to like spread the fan out, and it's one of those hopeful things. You can't groom it and hope it's going to turn out. You have to make it turn out. How to darken a charcoal coat on a standard poodle? Well, other than dyeing them. So anytime I'm going to try to get like a black dog blacker, I'm going to use Black on Black by Chris Christensen, and they're going to be in the tub. They're going to be dry. They have not been bathed. And I'm going to put it straight on the coat, starting with the lightest areas first. So sometimes they have lighter areas like around their hip rosettes, especially if they're shaved, like wherever they tend to be shaved or clippered tends to be the lighter part. I'm gonna put it straight on those areas, straight on my dog, on as much of the coat as possible, and really work it in with my hands. I'm probably gonna wear gloves. It does wash off, but it does stain, especially around your fingernails. And I'm gonna leave it on for 10 minutes. Then I'm going to add water, lather it up, and add more shampoo if needed, leave on for another 10 minutes, and then rinse as usual. I would then like to use a product like Afterbath, because it helps seal the cuticle. It'll help seal that color in there. So that's what I would do. All right, I think we're getting to the end of our questions that were emailed in, and we are going to get to the ones that have come in live, if I can remember how to do that. Leading Edge, so here's my little spiel. Leading Edge is an ever-growing library of dog show knowledge. So we have courses on Springers, on the Setters, on Beagles, on Shelties, and of course we have Poodle University. And we like to bring you lots of content. We have Winner Circle, which is absolutely every single course we have. We have handling courses. We're doing more of these webinars. And you can visit us at leadingedgedogshowacademy.teachable.com to browse all of our courses. And just for attending our webinar, you can use the code webinar35 for 35% off everything. We will email all of this stuff to you. I'm going to go to the last slide. I want to thank Groomers Pro, Angels Grooming Apparel, and iEnvy for sponsoring this webinar. So if you could give them a shout out either on social media, on our social media pages, anywhere, it just like helps them know that you appreciated this, that they sponsored it. And that way they'll do another one and we can have more questions answered, right? Also, remember, you can buy any of their products. They have Chris Christensen, they have iEnvy, they have the gorgeous Angels Apparel grooming stuff, and use the code until next Sunday, seminar15, get the 15% off, right? You might as well do that now and get it, but we really do appreciate them. Okay, so for the last 10 minutes, I'm going to get to as many of these Q&As as possible. Then the rest will be answered either in an upcoming webinar and or a YouTube video that we will do. But please reach out to us on social media. Ask us questions. Tell us the questions you want. Email them to me because that's the best way to get them out there. But on social media, if you could just say, yes, I would attend another webinar. Yes, I have 10 friends that would like to see a webinar. Those are the things we like to do to know if it's worth it for us to do another one, right? That's all we need. We just need to know. I mean, we are thrilled to death this filled again at 500 and we have all of you online. So happy, happy to do it. Here we go with the live questions.
Do you want to exit out of your screen? Like stop screen sharing?
Oh, is that what I should do?
Yep.
Okay, there we go. I'm going to stop screen sharing.
And then at the bottom it should say Q&A 14.
Yeah, I think I did that.
Okay, and you can see them?
Yep. Starting with Michaela, right? Okay.
Sorry?
Starting with Michaela.
Yes.
Okay. Michaela asks, how can you elaborate to properly trim the feet of a long-haired dog, for an example, Briard? Rabbit feet have been mentioned, uncertain what that means. Thanks. Okay. Michaela. First of all, the feet need to be clean. They need to be blow dried, right? Because that's how you're going to get the best look. I like to use either clippers and clip out in between the pads first, because you want to make sure if they have too much hair growing up between the pads, then, their foot is going to stand uneven. They're going to get mud balls and mats and stuff in there, and their toes start to look funny. So you can either clipper out, or you can use straight blunt short shears and just clipper or scissor the hair on the feet even with the pads. Once you have that done, you want the dog to be standing up on the table, standing how they naturally stand. So if they stand a little bit east-west, maybe a little bit pigeon-toed, you want them to stand naturally. Obviously, if they stand perfect, let them stand perfect. But it's important that their feet are standing how they stand naturally. So once the hair is all combed out, I like to use my thinning shears only, and I like to think of the shape that I like. So to me, Briards shouldn't have rabbit feet. To me, is a long, narrow toe, more like what we want a Saluki to look like. I want my Briard feet to look a little bit more round than that. And so simply, I'm going to just start with my thinning shears, making them look nice and round. So if my dog is standing a little bit east-west, I'm going to start on the outside of the foot and go around towards the front of the dog. And if they're standing pigeon-toed, I'm going to start on the inside of the foot and go again from the inside of the foot out towards the front of the dog. And you're going to scissor with your thinning shears touching the floor, like touching the grooming table, but they have to be standing. Just because you're scissoring the front feet doesn't mean they can be sitting, because how they stand is really important. Sitting will change the whole dynamic of what the foot looks like. This is a great question and something we haven't demoed before, so I think we'll make a note of this one and try to do it in our next webinar, like try to do a demo on how to do that. So I hope that helped, but I think it is something more visual that we should do in a webinar. Allie then asks, what grooming scissors do you recommend for a Shetland Sheepdog? So, Allie, I really like the Artisan thinning shear. I do most of my work on a Sheltie with thinning shears. I don't use straight shears. I would use a short, blunt, straight shear for the feet and for the very, very tips of the ears and maybe the whiskers. The rest of it I would do with a thinning shear, like the Artisan thinning shear by Chris Christensen, or the Artisan safety shear. The Artisan safety shear is a great shear if you are worried about trimming them. You don't want to be too aggressive. But if you are experienced with thinning shears, I would go to the straight up Artisan thinner instead of the safety thinner. They are two different thinners. Krista says, thanks for doing the seminars. You're welcome, Krista. Thank you for saying that. I'm wondering what you would recommend for a regular maintenance product for hard-coated breeds. I've heard of Listerine and water, or apple cider vinegar water mixes, even beer and eggs. What would you recommend to condition and protect the hair and skin for daily life, but not soften the texture? Many, many thanks. So, Krista, my two things were Listerine and water. So, for their top coat, right? So I wouldn't use it to condition the furnishings. So I would use Listerine and water, mixed about 10% Listerine in a spray bottle of water, and I would mist that over them and then use a bristle brush and just really work it in. It does condition the coat. It does help with dander, and it does help to not have a greasy buildup. But for conditioning the actual leg coat, I would, at this point, with dog shows not being for a while, I would use ProGrow. So I would use ProGrow. I would use it this way. I would put about a tablespoon in my hand. I would emulsify it between my two hands, warm it up, and then I would just apply it on each leg. So it'd be about a tablespoon for each leg. If you think that is a bit too much conditioner, but again, this is a time to try it, then I would use Miracle Cream or Spectrum Hydro Pack. But for right now, personally, my go-to would be especially they're so hard-coated, right? It's not going to soften the coat. It might make it feel a little softer. As soon as you bathe it out, you're going to bath it out with Clean Start. It's going to go right back. It's not going to permanently soften the texture. It's just going to protect it. Pam says, what's the best way to get a cowlick out of the butt of a Sheltie? Well, Pam, I have quite a bit of experience with cowlicks in the butts of my Shelties. So yes, I would force dry it till it's as dry as possible. Then I would use my hot dryer and that oblong brush that I showed you. Before I use the hot dryer, I would put some mousse in there. I would put some mousse and really, really style it. But this is an area that definitely, once it's dry, I am going to dry it for another 10 minutes. You could also, once, they're not going to sleep in a wire crate. They're not going to sleep on a bed that, because that area is where they mess it up all the time, right? Then when I get them ready for the show, I'm going to refresh that area with a bit of bottoms up in water. And I'm going to dry it again and then put a damp towel on top of it to hold it down until I am in the ring. Okay, I hope that made sense. Jacqueline, is trimming everything half an inch shorter on an adult Sheltie good also, or just for puppies? Definitely on an adult. So on an adult, I would trim the ruff. I just comb it all completely out, then trim it about a half inch shorter than you want. The pants and the underline, to bring that underline in nice and thick. Definitely not the body hair. I wouldn't touch the body hair. But the underline, the back of the pants, and around the ruff, a good half inch is really going to help you out. Claudia asks, one of my border collies has really wiry hair around the tail area and in the back of the legs in comparison to the rest of the body hair, which is very straight and soft. I use supplements and that has helped, but these two areas have always been an issue. What do you recommend I do? Shall I leave a lot of conditioner in overnight and wash it off? Yes, I would use Spectrum 10 Hydro Pack or the Miracle Cream. I would put it in there. I could show you the thing that I did skip over was a plastic bag method. That would really, really work well on this kind of wiry hair. But leaving it in overnight, at this point, you could leave it in all the time. You could just put it in every night, like in those two areas, let them sleep with it. And by the morning, it's probably mostly going to be absorbed into the coat, and just not wash it out in between. Just leave it in except for your weekly bath. That's what I would do. Allie asks, how often should I bathe my Shetland Sheepdog? I bathe mine every single week. Because the more you bathe them, the more you're encouraging that dead hair to come out and the new hair to come back in. If they're blowing coat, twice a week, but once a week minimum. Barbara, do you use conditioner during baths for poodle puppies? I do. I don't use it a lot, but I just use it to get them used to having conditioner and getting me used to do it. Pam asks, would you full ban an 8.5-month-old puppy right down the back? It depends how much hair they had. Definitely if they have enough hair to go into two bands, I would. Obviously if it's just one band all the way down the back, I probably wouldn't. But if they have enough hair for two or more bands, then yeah, why not? Robin asks, do I dilute shampoo as well as conditioner, and should I use mousse for fullness in a rough coat of an affenpinscher? So diluting shampoo. I like to use my shampoos often straight, especially like around the face. I'll use Happy Eyes and I will use it straight, but how I use it is I don't put it straight onto the dog. I put it in my hand, rub it between my hands so it's fairly thin on my hands, and then work it through the hair until I find I don't have any more shampoo coming off of my hands. And once I don't have any more coming off of my hands, then I add it more and do it straight. And also once the shampoo is all in your dog, leave it in there for like 5 minutes. Let it actually do its work and then start rinsing. I always dilute my conditioners because I find it goes through the hair much, much easier. I would use conditioner straight on a problem area, but I'm going to spot treat the problem area with the conditioner straight, then dilute it, put it over the entire body. Again, for conditioners, wait at least 10 minutes. Wait with every single conditioner at least 10 minutes so the conditioner can actually do its job, and then rinse. Definitely for an affenpinscher, I am using mousse. Definitely using mousse in the head, in the legs, and in the shawl area. Absolutely no question at all. That is what I would do. So we just went to 1 hour and 1 minute. So we are officially done. I want to thank everybody for coming out and joining us. Remember, post on social media that you'd like to see it. Send us in more questions. The rest of the questions that we have up here, we will answer either in the next webinar and or on a YouTube that we will send out ASAP. Well, not ASAP. We have a lot on the go. We're going to send it out when we can. I get in trouble for saying ASAP because I have a lot and I'm usually the one that makes sure that things don't happen. So yes, please reach out to Groomers Pro and to Leading Edge. Let them know that you like the webinar. Let them know you'd like to see another one. Send us questions by email is the best way because that's where they all get grouped together. We get things on my personal Facebook, on the Leading Edge Facebook, and then there's just too many areas to keep them track of. I really, really appreciate everybody out there sending in questions, having these webinars, asking me questions. I love learning from you people, just the same way that you learn from us. Please, please, please use the codes to get discounts, right? The codes will be emailed out to you. You will get an email of this recording that does include all of the slides that we have. And it's going to be emailed today and tomorrow with you. Remember to use the code 7R15 until April 19th to get 15% off anything. All the Chris Christensen products, iEnvy, Groomers, Angels Grooming Apparel. Please use those codes and please use the Webinar 35 code to get anything you want off of our Leading Edge. Please send in your questions, your photos that you want marked up for your own vision board. We would love to help you out with that. All right. It's a very different world out there. And we at Leading Edge just wish you and your families all the best. And please stay safe. Thank you very much for joining us. Okay, May, you're done.